Hey, my name is Sean Piller. I'm executive producer of Wildfire, and you are watching Family Matters, written by Sandy Isaac and directed by Frank Pearl, who this was his first episode of Wildfire. He's our director of photography, and originally I was supposed to direct this episode, but there was actually, to be frank, my father passed away, and so Frank stepped in and I thought did a great job. And I stayed in LA and took care of the family and kept the scripts coming. And it turned out to be a really, really awesome episode. I ended up just now directing episode 9. And we actually did some pickup shots for this show. We expanded the club. The club looked a little bit small. So that wall you're looking at right now, we've knocked out and added an extra like 600 square feet to the club, and you can fit an extra 50 or 60 people in there. And we did a new opening shot that very first shot you saw, with sort of wiping off the top of the pillars coming down onto a close-up of James Blunt. Basically is a body double of James. We didn't get James back. He's on tour somewhere selling billions of records. And then we shot a couple extra shots from behind with some body doubles. Actually, the body double was a guy named Pete, who's in the grip department on Wildfire. And he kind of looked like James Blunt. And so we shaved him and shaved his goatee and put him in a shirt just like his and got the same extras, band members, and put him on stage and shot some bigger crowd shots. So, because the network and I, we all thought the club looked a little dinky. So for our first club experience, I thought it turned out great, but we wanted to make it better. So, and we just shot another band coming up, Aiden Hawken, who's a new artist about to pop, and I directed that episode in the new club, and we shot a bunch of angles for that. So let's talk about James Blunt. James Blunt. I never got to meet him, but I'm a huge fan, and we actually used his songs in the first season of Wildfire, and he was just got out of the army and had recorded his album, and it hadn't really been released yet. And Trisha Holloway and Jay Fairs at Baby New Year Music, which is a subsidiary of Lionsgate, our studio, our TV studio, they basically gave me the CD and I heard it and fell in love with the guy and fell in love with, I didn't fall in love with the guy, I fell in love with his music, and ultimately we used it in a couple places in season one. And because of that, he felt obliged to show up and do an on-camera, our first on-camera Wildfire musical sequence. And he's now the number one artist in Europe. And he was, last time I checked, he was number 14 in the domestic charts. And his songs have been used all over. He played Saturday Night Live. He played, you know, Today Show. He's just blown up. And I just heard he's like the coolest guy. I was really bummed I didn't get to meet him. So, James, if you're seeing this, hope we get to hang out someday. Anyways, so this scene with Junior and the whole gang is really moving, I thought, in terms of all the missed glances and setting up all the relationships between all the different characters and seeing how things have progressed and where they're going to go. So, and here's the title sequence. Actually, it's a new title sequence. We recut that shot right there with Nicole. And the new shot of new two shots of Nana, and we got a new Wildfire shot in there, because hey, he's the star of the show, right? The horse. So I'm pretty stoked about this episode. I actually just finally locked it this morning with the new shots, and it airs a week from today. So we're still trying to catch up. So finally we get to a place here where we get to see Matt sort of step in and fill Pablo's shoes. We've had a bunch of different story ideas that ultimately, when Pablo was away, we were going to foreshadow some stuff that's coming up in future episodes, which is episode 6 and episode 8, where we sort of get into Pablo's backstory a bit. And this is the first time where we get to see, you know, Chris and race against Danny's stables. And we get to see Matt torn between two lovers, torn between two stables, between his family, the Ritters and the Davises, and really see how smart he is and how much he learned from Henry and Todd and Pablo and put all that to work. And so it's kind of a really cool, you know, Matt story where we get to see Matt be a strong character and sort of take one more step towards adulthood and manhood against his away from his family and the Ritters. And that's a storyline that we're going to keep playing with and building on for the rest of the season. And Baby Wildfire. We get to someday have Baby Wildfire. I'm not going to give away when that happens, but we got a knocked up horse here. And I think there's going to be a Baby Wildfire. So this is Deborah Ferrantino, and this is the back of our soundstage, which we've turned into the club entrance. And Vince, our production designer, has done a great job making this set look flooded with all this debris and stuff. And I just shot this club, and I just had a great time with the cast and the production designers. And the rest of the crew, they just did such a great job. We have such a great crew in New Mexico, and led by Gary Goodman, and our line producer, and Lester Berman, our production manager, who just do a great job keeping us on budget and making the show look good. So Andrew and I, and then I got to shoot a great episode, a great scene in my episode. I guess I should talk about this episode as opposed to the one I just directed, but they are just so awesome together. Whenever Nana and Andrew are together, Nana is such a natural comedian and such a good actor. And of course, I've known her for years from Deep Space Nine, and my dad worked with her for years on Deep Space Nine, and she's been a close family friend. And she's got two great kids and an awesome husband who I think is a producer of Broadway theater and is now doing shows in Vegas. And she's actually lives in New Mexico now, as do the rest of the cast, and they all bought houses and they're all loving it. Actually, we got to the governor of New Mexico came down to the set when I was there right before I started shooting, because we've created I think something like 3,000 jobs there. 300 or 400 of our actual crew, and then all the subsidiary jobs that come from the jobs we created. So the governor's pretty stoked, and we've totally pumped money into that economy. So there is Amanda from Mean Girls, really talented, funny, beautiful actress who I have yet to meet. I was supposed to meet her on this episode, but she basically wasn't in the one that I directed, so I didn't get a chance to meet her, because I was only there during production for the first couple episodes and the last couple. So, but I just fell in love with her in Mean Girls. She was so funny. And she, the first time, I guess it was episode 4, she got introduced and Junior hires her with no experience. I just fell out of my chair laughing in that scene. So actually, this band you hear in the background is The Woods, which is, we also have we have Pillar Squared, the production company, produces Wildfire and some other TV shows, The Dead Zone, and we also have a record label, and this is one of my best friends, Brad Cohen, who's also one of the first bands we signed to put out, and there's three artists that you'll hear a lot in the series, which is Friedalba, which the lead singer is Eric Balfour, who's another good friend of mine who's on a new show, it's one of the new Law and Order shows. And the other one is Lindsay Price, who's this awesome artist, singer-songwriter, who also happens to be my wife. So I got that going for me. But so this is the barn. You can see them in the background doing a wet down. And in production, as always, especially this DP, Frank Pearl, and the director, Brad May, who's one of our stable directors, who just does like every other episode, who's just awesome. They're always trying to put, foreground action or background effects, whether it's smoke or burning leaves or fog or water, just to try to make the background, pop. And I should say that there's a new composer this season that you guys might not have noticed, but basically, Jay Grushka is this awesome composer who did the first season, who's a good friend, and basically moved on from us this season. And we brought in some other really wonderful composers, Pat Card and Sean Pierce, is a music editor and co-composer sometimes, who scored The Dead Zone for us. And they've just totally taken the score to the next level and made it a little bit hipper, a little less country, and a little less down home. So they're using, more synth, but still keeping the organic sound. And I'm just really stoked with what they've done, bridging, our needle drop stuff with our score and finding great ins and outs for all that. So Ari Gross, the most funny, talented, adorable underdog that's ever been on television. He is handsome and smart and just hilarious. So we're in love with Ari Gross. And all the scenes with him and Gene are just great. In episode 4, I just loved the whole opera storyline, and it was just so freaking cute. Killed me. It's so funny seeing Micah Alberti play, this character. Every character has a lot of the actor in them, and vice versa. But I think Micah is a little bit more decisive and hardcore than Matt. Matt is finds himself caught in all these situations all the time where he can't quite handle his women, whether it be his mom or Danny or Chris. And I think Micah is definitely more in control of his life. But I can see Matt in Micah as well. So it's pretty funny to see the actors and then see their characters and try to spot the differences. So this is a great scene and well shot part of the track we haven't seen. We shoot most of these racetrack scenes at the Albuquerque Downs Racetrack, and the track has a specific look to it. So it's always a challenge to find different parts of the track to shoot as different tracks. And you've got two of my favorite actors, James Reed and Ryan Seipek, together here playing out their father-son conflict, which is really fun. And I just thought the shot particularly was amazing. And you can see there's the glass there, which we try to avoid from the outside. It just looks like a big flat glass wall. But shooting inside of it, as Frank Pearl found, is just gorgeous. And people underestimate in television how important the director of photography is. And in movies, I think the directors really and the producers really appreciate them. But in television, I'd say it's even more important because you've got different directors changing all the time, but it's always the DP that's there, and he's the one that keeps the look of the film. You can see the light on the back wall. You can see that the camera's always on the dark side of their faces, and there's always contrast between, you can see Matt's right side of his face there is dark and dramatic, and the left side is, lighter and beautiful. And it's those kinds of things that are subconscious to the viewer, but without them, without a really great dramatic lighting and attention to detail in terms of every set, you really end up with just an ugly, high key lighting show. And we strive in all of our TV projects, all of the shows and movies we produce, to make sure that every shot looks beautiful, no matter how, simple the scene is. And Frank Pearl's just done a great job pulling that together, especially on a TV budget and TV schedule. And people, I always hear the excuse of, "Hey, it's a cable show. What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Hey, dude, we're making a movie every week, and we're trying to win an Emmy every week, even on our little cable shows." And I think the whole crew feels that way, and so does the cast. And the writers and everybody. So this attention to detail is what I think makes our show stand out, especially, you know, Wildfire. So this is a fun scene. I'm always talking to Nicole, who plays Danny Davis, who's always riding that line between horrible, you know, B-I-T-C-H, or can I just say biatch, and really misunderstood, strong-willed girl. She's trying to get out of the box that she's been put in. And she has a lot of fun playing that character. It's funny, this scene, this is one of those scenes that you kind of make in the editing room. You know, sometimes things just don't translate from the script to film. And there was a couple lines of dialogue at the end here that, the scene didn't feel like it had a button. So a lot of times people don't realize, but in the editing room, you can totally steal looks and recreate a whole different end. And this is a scene where I just grabbed these two end shots and created a whole end of a scene that wasn't really there, where she gets embarrassed after she says she's happy, cut to Junior there, and cut to this look here, and cut to that, and just ended the scene. That was not the end of the scene. It was a total different end where they looked at each other, and I just was like, wouldn't it be so funny if she, you know, realized that she was happy that it wasn't her fault, and he kind of looked at her, smiled, then she got bummed, and then Junior laughed at her. And that's, we just created that in the editing room, and that wasn't written or shot to be that. Some of those looks were after they said cut, actually. So we just did this whole Karate Charlie storyline. There was a scene we cut that for time, and just we didn't think it worked. Frank did a great job shooting it, and Susan, the editor, who's this amazing editor, who's actually cutting the one I directed, she cut episode 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9, all the odd number episodes. And she cut all the shows last season. There was a scene where Charlie goes and confronts this bully. And they had this really funny Clint Eastwood, like, music over the scene when he walks between these two buses and there's smoke coming out from the exhaust. And in theory, it's one of those things that, oh, it would have been really funny and it would have totally popped. But in reality, it just came off a little too funny, a little too broad. So to my chagrin, we ended up cutting it, and there's a young actor in it that we ended up cutting his only scene out of the movie, a brand new actor from New Mexico who I ended up recasting in episode 9 named Tyler New. No pun intended, his last name's actually New. So he got his chance. I cut his scene, but I cast him again, so he's good. So I should also say Sandy Isaac and Marjorie David, the writers that worked on this. Sandy wrote it, and Marjorie's the head writer and showrunner of the show. And she, you know, nothing gets on the screen without going through across her desk. So I thought the two of them did a great job on the script. It's, you know, writing is forever rewriting and polishing and taking notes and trying to track the soap that's ever changing. You know, when you get a network note that has you go left, or if you get a note from me that has you go right, the poor writers have to really be fast on their feet to make adjustments, not only in the script that's shooting, but the script that's prepping, and the script that's being written after that, and the script that's being broken on the story, on the board after that. So I thought, you know, all things considered, I thought they've done a pretty damn good job keeping the train moving. And as has production. We've had more reshoots this season than we did last season, which is a credit to Gary and the studio for letting us amend our choices when we've realized that we could have done better. So I'm really stoked about that. And you'll see coming up that there's some inserts of punches in the karate scene that's coming up that we just got. Actually, Clint, our A-camera operator, kind of went in and stole them for us at like 8 o'clock at night on my last day of shooting last Friday. And we basically had to splinter unit over because we were running over on time. And I said, Clint, here's the shots. Boom, 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 boom. And we just basically popped them in, and I lined them up, and he rolled on them. So it was great. And they cut in like butter. So it was very cool. But This is a great scene where we see Amanda and Deborah come together, and you sort of have two women fighting over Junior, which is, I think, a theme that we always have in the show. All of these love triangles, whether it's, you know, the love of two girls or a mother and her son, and we see that the mother has this other agenda that will slowly reveal itself as the show goes on and the next couple episodes go on. But we were really, really lucky to get some of the actors that we get, you know, like Ari Gross that can come in, or Jolanda, or Deborah Ferrantino, that they just, you know, they came in and fell in love with their characters, and they fly in from New York or LA to do a part, work for 2 days, and fly back. It's just great. You can see that Nana's look has changed over the series. We've changed her hair a bit and made her look, you know, it's a fine line, because she's such a beautiful woman, and yet she has to be this strong matriarch of the show. And in real life, she's very, you know, hip and cool, and she's a professional dancer, and her mother was this amazing choreographer, and she's just this really, you know, hot young mom. And in real life, and just cool, and hangs with the rest of the cast and goes out to dinner and stuff. But we sort of had to mom her up a bit more and make her a little more, you know, conservative. So it's always, you know, a fine line to walk in terms of making her be a mom, but also making her be beautiful. So not that moms aren't beautiful, but your mom, if you're listening, I'm sorry, I did not mean that. But I think we really found a great look for her. And she's having fun. So the other thing that's a challenge is, how do you shoot Wildfire Stable and Barn every week and make it look different? I had 7 scenes set in Wildfire Stall in my show in episode 9, and this show had a bunch. So these directors every week strive to try to say, okay, we're in front of Wildfire Stall, or we're in the barn, and it's one set on a real location. And how do you, you know, make it look different? So this director stuck him in front of the whatever that stuff's called, the gear, the horse bridles, and, you know, tack room, the outer tack room, and just lit it in a way that made it look different. And it's some nice close-ups, and obviously this scene was shot at night, and they probably have heaters pounding in there because it's freezing cold this time of the year when we're shooting. And I was just there, and I know it is freezing cold. So hopefully we'll get picked up for season 3, and we'll be shooting this summer, where it's nice and warm, where you will never see anyone in a hat like that, because it'll be 110 degrees, and it makes it a lot easier to show some skin. All right, so there's the exterior Ritter House. We finally get Chris and Matt working together here. And I've been hearing from a lot of people that, you know, everyone has their different opinions. Should it be Chris and Matt that hook up? Should it be Carrie and Chris? Should it be Junior and Chris? And so we definitely promise to have a lot more intrigue to come. We have a great season finale, and some really great twists and turns in terms of who's going to end up with who. And it's great to know these actors and to see them hang out and also see them act together. It's great to see how much they really like each other as people, and also as actors, and how each actor is different and better, or not better, but how different combinations of actors bring out different things in the other actors is really great. I think Micah and Andrew are, when they play the Ritter boys, are just really subtle in some of their choices sometimes. And it's really easy to go over the top and get big with their anger and conflict sometimes. And I think they've both, especially Micah's, found a nice way to have conflict and you know, disagree with his mother and other people, and still sort of maintain some self-control and likability. And still, you know, show the real conflict, internal conflict, which is cool. So it just goes with, it's a credit to the actors and the writing. But especially the actors. I mean, cause you can play a scene so many different ways. And the directors, of course. So there's some really funny stuff coming up with Amanda and Junior, stuff that that I don't think you'll see coming, in terms of the love triangle between Junior, Chris, and Rebecca, which is very fun. I love her eyes. She just has these huge, beautiful eyes, and I'm so bummed I never got a chance to meet her, because she's such a little talented little actor, and she can convey so much just with a little look. As a Junior, I've said this before, but Junior, or Ryan Sipek, we were on the pilot, and at the end of the pilot, I turned to him and said, dude, this is amazing. This is such a great crew. What a great experience. What a great cast. And how does this compare to all your other shows you've ever done? And he looked at me and he goes, dude, I just graduated college. This is the first thing I've ever done. I was like, oh my God. I was blown away. But hey, here's another Wood song. Brad Cohen. So this is the scene I was telling you about where we just reshot these close-ups, these insert shots of karate and the hits and stuff. I'm actually going at... it's right now 10:45 LA time, and at 1 o'clock I'm going to mix this show, and that's basically where you take the music, sound effects, dialogue, all the color timed shots that have all been put together, and you do the final mix of the show. And it's like, you know, seven people sitting around in a room, and we all make sure the music is loud enough and the dialogue's loud enough, and there's heads and tails on all the songs, and it's the final place to make sure the sound is right and the sound effects and the crowd noises and the score and everything. And it's pretty fun part of the process. And for me, it's great to see, you know, I'm sort of involved in the whole process from beginning all the way to end to delivery. My partner Lloyd Segan is as well, and he goes even bigger than I do in terms of marketing and you know, deals with all the agents and the cast and the network and stuff. And I'm sort of, you know, along for the process of pre-production, development, production, and post-production, and do all the editing and then the mixing with our composers. And then you've got Marjorie David, who's, you know, the one who's in charge of all the development and the stories, and is involved all the way through as well, up until post, and still gives notes on post. So it's a real team effort in terms of, you know, it takes a village to raise this child we're doing every week called Wildfire. So pretty an amazing process if you're a student of the process or fascinated with the process of filmmaking. It's great. But when you have actors like that that can do that little look and kiss, you just go, oh, it's so amazing. It's just, it's so great. I just love the show. I just love watching it. I love these actors. And it's great. You can see the horses in the background and that little smoke and leaves in the background. These are all things the crew and DP and special effects people do. And we've got a crew of, you know, I don't know, you know, Clay and Bobby and just a whole bunch of horse wranglers and teamsters that all are out there. Just, you know, the AD saying, all right, we need three horses in the background. The scene will be going on. And there's someone who told that guy to walk back there with the hoe, and somebody to have those guys in the background burning leaves and a guy walking over there. So every shot, the director's working on the actors and their scene and the lighting, and then the ADs control the background. And it's, you know, it's like an army. This little close-up shot I just shot, actually Frank Pearl directed on my episode, because we needed a better close-up of Matt to end the act on. The way they shot it last time was it ended on his back, and we really wanted to see what Matt was thinking. All right, so Act 5, the big race, where we see Ishmael versus Wildfire, Chris versus a different jockey. And So this scene I thought was just wonderfully shot by Frank Pearl. That looks like Dolly. And it's amazing when you start to see the process of filmmaking in terms of how many shots you get per day, how much time you have based on how much daylight you have based on this scene. This scene was very difficult to shoot because you've got several actors in one scene, and then you have a lot of looks from every actor to every actor. And Frank was able to make every angle interesting. Like if you look at the shots of Carrie, there's people in the background there. You've got the shot of Chris, and you've got Micah looking at Chris and then turning around and looking at three other people, Todd, Gina, Pablo, and Carrie. And then they're going to have looks back to over people, to Danny and her whole thing when Matt goes over there and talks to them. And this whole racetrack sequence, I thought, was perfectly shot with the slow motion, especially at the end of the movie with the music that bookended with James Blunt, his song Beautiful. And this whole sequence is pretty much one huge 4 or 5 minute song composed by the composer. We rough in temp music when you're scoring these shows for mass consumption for the network to look at, or for the studio to look at, or for myself to look at, or the other producers. And then ultimately it gets all rewritten. We do it like this marathon spotting session where I sit down with the composers and Baby New Year, Trisha, and Nino, our music editor, and we sit there and we watch the whole show. We talk about the score, what it should be like. Is it like the temp music? Is it that we need to make a difference? Should it be more, you know, emotional, less emotional, more, you know, this kind of instrumentation? You go through the whole show and you really write the score in the room, or at least talk about the score and what it should be and what it shouldn't be and the ins and out points. And then the composer goes away into his dark room with the piano and keyboard and Pro Tools machine and guitars and stuff, and they write it. So this is going to be one huge score that links all of these scenes together. Every one of these setups takes about, you know, 45 minutes, half hour to 45 minutes. So when you look at how many different shots and how many different looks in terms of lighting and angles, like those are two cameras probably shooting at the same time and then swung a lens and they went tighter on two angles. And so it's really like a chess game directing television. You just basically, you know, you have your time and you sit there and you go, all right, I can light this direction, and you put your two cameras and you try to maximize your angles during the day. And I found that Frank Pearl did a great job with all these angles and lighting and camera movement, and just did a great job. And Kieran is such a welcome addition to the cast. He's so real, so funny, so likable, so charming, and always has an edge of mystery about him that is definitely going to play out for the rest of the season. So this is all a combination of real footage. That's Chris really riding the horse, and sometimes you have a stunt double, Tanya, our stunt double, riding. And I think that is Tanya right there riding the horse. So they look a lot alike, and they have the same body type. And so that's a visual effect shot there, compositing Chris in the background of another track. And here comes Amanda. Rebecca. The ponies? I mean, little lines like that you could, a normal, you know, a regular actor would just kind of wash over, but these guys are just so funny and so great that they just turn every little moment into something special and funny. And I love the scene with Micah. I thought he just nailed this, the performance, the awkwardness, the torn between two jockeys. Huh? I thought they just nailed this. I told them that when I was there. The scene was just so funny. I should mention Barcy, our costume designer, has done a great job keeping everyone looking good even when it's freezing out there. Finding a nice balance between, you know, the different outfits. I thought this outfit, at the beginning of the season, they do all of these fittings, and then they show me all the pictures and Marjorie, and we look at everything and we flip through and go, we like this outfit, we don't like this outfit, and we narrow it down to a whole bunch of different looks. And they spread them out all over the season. And then the actors and Barcy, the costume designer, basically, get to pick and choose where they think an outfit will work or where it won't. And, these jockey outfits, we basically find stock footage that we're going to be matching to, and we shoot additional shots. So we actually hand make all of these outfits to match our stock footage. So we find a race that fits our story in stock footage, and then we reverse engineer backwards to have the costumes and the horse numbers and everything match our stuff. And a lot of the stuff we shoot, like that stock footage right there, and that stock footage, it's actually from another movie called Let It Ride, and that's really our footage. That's stock footage. That's our footage. That's our footage. Stock footage. Our footage. Real footage. Stock footage. Our footage. Our footage. Our footage. So when you color time all this stuff together, you can't really tell the difference, but that is not Chris riding that horse. But you can't really tell. It's pretty cool. And again, this is a great illustration of just fine editing by Susan Capata, who, reuses footage that we've shot and just basically creates this whole race sequence that really tells the story and brings out the excitement of this day. So here we go. It goes from our, hopefully seamlessly from our stock footage, to Chris on a horse. And it all cuts together beautifully. So I'm about to go hear the score for this show. Like I said, in an hour or two. So hopefully the composers nailed it and it ties this whole sequence together. The key to this type of sequence is that it has peaks and valleys and a lot of emotion. A shot of the bird. It was a nice little touch that they shot on the day. Just, someone said, hey, pan over to that bird and grab that bird. And I just thought this whole sequence from here forward was just beautifully shot by Frank. Seeing a lot of different angles of the track we hadn't seen before. This long lens stuff just looks beautiful. And you just see this wonderful family, this wonderful, competitive spirit of this horse breeding life. And horse racing life, which is great. So even though Danny lost, she came in second and her horse breeding farm is on the map, which is cool. She's so freaking adorable, it kills me. The great thing I love about James Reed and his character, Ken Davis, is that you never really know if he's, a heartless, manipulative bastard or whether he's just like Danny, a misunderstood, flawed, human being. And I think the writers have done a good job striving for that balance in all the characters. I think it makes it much interesting television when people are flawed and yet still good people or trying to be good. As opposed to, mustache twirling villains that I think Ken said earlier. What am I twirling a mustache here? Which is, the writers being self-conscious. Probably a note that I gave. I was like, you can't be a mustache twirling villain. So that was a little probably a poking fun at me telling me to go, But they nailed it, and I'm very happy with this episode and where they went with Ken and Danny and the whole story. So originally we had a different song. We had this song in here and we thought it was a little too sad and we changed the song. And then we changed it back because after recutting it, it really worked I'm listening to the temp song in my headphones right now, which is a different song than you guys are listening to because this is not the final mix. But Beautiful is just came out great. And again, this is another thing by Frank that I thought was beautiful, slow motion. And we asked the writers to write this whole sequence in at the end so we can just sort of see where everybody is and make it all slow motion montage. And Frank, you know, shot it really well. And again, Susan did a great job cutting it all together to the rhythm and the music. And it's, you know, it's the kind of stuff I was grew up watching and trying to make it, you know, more of my style, more of my generation of, you know, the kind of music video montage type stuff. So, well, I hope you enjoyed it. Nice work, everybody. Hope you dig the next episode, which is number 6 coming up. Thanks.